Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of God, for the Holy Spirit that's in this place today. And I thank you, Lord, that you are interested in every one of us. Lord, that for each and every one of us, you have a purpose and a plan. And so, Father, I ask you this morning that our hearts would just be open and receptive to the word of God. Lord, that in our heart we might hear your voice speak to us. And Lord, that we would leave this place today changed in some way. Lord, give us fresh vision and understanding. Lord, open our eyes to see things that we have not seen before. And Lord, I ask you this morning for the strength in the inner man to step out in faith and to do all that you have called us and given us to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen. A year of increase. I believe this is to be a year of increase. There's no reason that as we look back on this year of 2009 that we can't say, wow, this was a year of increase, a year of God's blessing, a year of growth. I hope you understand that I'm not just talking about for us as a church. I'm talking about for each of us individually in our personal lives, that this can be our best year. Now, you know, you hear cliches like that a lot, but it ought to truly be that in the child of God, in our heart, we ought to expect and believe that this will be my best year. And you know what? That doesn't happen just by accident. No, we need to realize that it's up to us this morning to set out, to purpose and to plan and to even do the things that are necessary to see that happen. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you that this be your best year, a year of increase, a year that you just live life to its fullest. Now that's what Jesus promised us in John 10 and 10. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Another translation says, and have it to the full. He wants us to have a full kind of life, not just a little bit, not just half full. Is your glass half empty, half full? My glass is all the way full. Amen. See, we need to have that mentality. That's what God wants for us, is our cup runs over. And so can we really have that? Can our year be like that? I believe it can. Amen. But a lot of this, the outcome of this year will be determined by the course that we take, whether it's by design or by default. It's going to be determined by what we do, what we plan, and what we carry out. We got to plan, purpose, and proceed into this new year with a mindset that we will begin again. Amen. See, sometimes people are afraid to get their hopes up. Sometimes people are afraid to set out and expect great things because of disappointments of the past and things that have happened. Oh, but how we need to turn those things over to God and trust God and know that with God, we always have hope. That with God, that all things are possible. And as we look forward to this year, to the future, we can expect and believe for great things in spite of past failures and mistakes and disappointments. But we got to move forward and see increase in our lives. Now, we've probably all heard these famous words. For of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, what might have been. Those are some pretty sad words. What might have been. It'll just be a short time. You know, as you get older, it gets shorter and shorter. We'll just turn around a couple of times and this year will be gone. It's amazing how time flies. 2009 will go fast and we'll say, where did it go? God forbid that we say what might have been. What opportunities were missed. What we could have done. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Might have been. No, we want to live a year without regret. We want to be able to look back on this year and say, I went for it. I did my best. I gave it my all. Everything I did heartily as unto the Lord. We want to look back on this year and know that we have truly done our part to see increase in our lives. You know, to have the perspective of looking back at wasted opportunities and wasted time. Can anybody do that this morning? Can you look back at this year and say, the past year, and say, man, I wasted some time. I wasted some opportunities. And how much of my life was unfruitful. How much better it is to be able to look back and say, not this year. This year, I used every opportunity. Everything that God entrusted to me, I used to the best of my ability. You got to choose your course today to succeed, to achieve, to believe. Let's consider these less famous words. For all the glad words of tongue or pen, the gladdest are these: no regrets. Isn't that a good thing to be able to look back over a period of time in your life and say, no regrets? Well, I want to challenge you to make this your best year ever. To make this your year to realize your dreams. Don't sit back. Don't look at the past. But reach forward by faith to the things that God has prepared for you this year. There is a reason that you're still here. There's a reason that God has given us another day. And should the Lord tarry in His return, given us another year. There's a reason that we have this year. God has entrusted to us. God has entrusted to you His property. He's entrusted to you His valuables, His riches. Yeah, I'm talking to you. He's entrusted great things. Riches, untold riches. He has entrusted these things to you. And we're going to read the parable of the talents from Matthew chapter 25 this morning. And I want you to realize, I just want to remind you that what is written here is to us and for us. It's to you. It's for you. There are living principles here that speak to our hearts today. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we need to know, we need to understand, what is it that God is saying to me personally? And most of you know, the parable of the talents is about three men that were entrusted with a sum of money, and after a period of time, they were held accountable for what they had done with that sum of money, and then they were rewarded accordingly to what they had done. So we'll just begin here in the first few verses. In fact, I just want to take this slow. We'll just kind of go down through this passage a little bit at a time. Beginning with verse 14 in Matthew chapter 25. Again, it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Remember, it's talking about you. He entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To one, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, first, I want you to realize that he entrusted his possessions, his valuables, his riches, he entrusted them to his servants. Now, Jesus uses the example of money here because money is something that hits home real quick. Most of us understand that. And certainly, finances and money can be something that God entrusts to us. It is something that God entrusts to us. But Jesus is not just talking about money here. He is talking about that and much, much more in our life, because as a Christian, we all have things that are of much greater value than money. Loved ones and relationships, precious things, but also untold riches in Christ, spiritual blessings, things that God has entrusted to us. Let me tell you, ask you this, you know, so many of us have been in church for a while and we learn things and we grow and we receive understanding, spiritual understanding, and It is those great riches in Christ that sometimes are the most valuable thing that we have, but do we realize it? Have you ever experienced this where you learned something, you grew? Maybe it was in a special service, maybe at a youth camp. God did something marvelous in your life. There were spiritual truths that came alive in your heart. And then a season passed and it was gone. It was no longer there. You lost what you had. You see, the answer is right here in this passage this morning. But I want you to realize that each one of us has been entrusted with something very, very valuable. In fact, we're talking about the value here. I just want you to realize the amount of money that he's talking about. Now, if you read different commentaries, you'll find a lot of different explanations and estimations as to what this value of money was, what a talent was, and all kinds of ideas. If that were translated into today's money, what that would mean. But I just want to give you one example that's somewhat taken from Scripture as to how much money this would be. Now, we know that a talent was 10,000 denarii. What's a denarii? That doesn't help much either, does it? A denarii, Jesus tells us very plainly in the parable of the workers that a denarii was a day's wages for a common man. A full day's wages was a denarii. He tells a story about men that were hired to work for the day for a denarii. So when these men receive a talent or two talents or five talents, listen, one talent was 10,000 days' wages. Can you imagine? We're talking about basically a lifetime of wages. A lifetime of wages was what the least of these was entrusted with. And again, the point is not money. The point is for us to realize how much God has entrusted to us valuable things. Things that are precious and even priceless, far beyond money. And I just want you to realize the tremendous value that God has placed into your hands as a child of God, as a servant of the Lord. Tremendous value he's placed into your hands. Now he goes on and he says, to the one he gave five talents, to another two talents, to another one talent, each according to his ability. You see, God knows exactly where we are. Let me tell you something. He knows exactly what you're capable of. He knows what is your potential and what you can do. He knows what you can't do. In fact, we certainly realize this morning that it is God that gives us ability. It says he gave to them according to their ability, but ultimately it is God who made each of us. Each of us has been formed and fashioned in the womb by him, and God certainly knows what our abilities are, and he knows what's best for us. He knows what we are going to be capable of and what we're able to handle. And so he entrusts to us according to our ability. Then he went on a journey, and the man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with two talents gained two more. I want you to see in these verses here that these two men went at once and they began to use that money. They began to put it to work. They worked at it. There was some effort that took place. They didn't wait till sometime down the road, but they began immediately to use what they had been given. I want to challenge you today to use what you've been given. Don't put it off. Don't look down the road, but begin even now to step out and to use what God has entrusted to you. One little boy, being a little smart aleck with his dad, he said, "Dad, there's three frogs sitting on the bank of the creek. One of them decides that he's going to jump in. How many frogs are left?" The dad says, "Well, two frogs are left." The boy says, "Nope, that's not right. The dad thinks for a minute. He thinks, well, if one of them jumped in, the other two would jump in also. So he says, there's no frogs left. They all jumped in. The boy says, no, that's not right. He said, I didn't say that one of them jumped in. He said, I said that one of them decided to jump in. And you see, that's exactly where a lot of people are, especially this time of year. They decide they're going to do this. They decide they're going to do that, but they don't follow through. I'm going to have a prayer time with the Lord every morning. I'm going to get involved in ministry. I'm going to begin to tithe. I'm going to work on my relationship with my spouse. But you get to the end of the year, and how many of those things were left undone? Or how many of those things just received a half-hearted effort, just half of what we said we were going to do? You see, it's not enough to just say, well, I'm going to do this or decide. No, we got to take that step of faith and do it. And you know, these two guys, they did just that. They immediately went out and invested that money that they were entrusted with. They immediately went out and began to use it. Now, again, this is not just about money. What have you been entrusted with? Some of you are sitting there right now thinking, well, nothing. You need your eyes opened. God has blessed each of us. Listen, if you are a born-again Christian, you have untold riches in Christ that people in this world don't have and don't even know about. You need to use what you have. If you have grown at all in the Lord, if you have any spiritual understanding and revelation at all, the things that God has shown you in Scripture, you have spiritual truth, riches that need to be shared with others. You need to use what you have. If you have any what we call talents today, you need to use them for the glory of God, not tomorrow, not someday, but right now to the best of your ability. And you might say, but I'm a one talent guy. I don't have the five talents. Let them see, that's so often that's where we are. We want, well, I don't really have much. Let's let the guy that's got five talents do something. We want to judge and we want to compare. And listen, God requires of each of us to be accountable for what we have been entrusted with. And each of us have the potential not only to please God in that, but each of us has the potential to increase what we have been blessed with. I'll just give you a little small personal example. I remember when I first became a youth pastor some 27, 8 years ago. Wow. 27 and a half, all right? And I didn't have much experience preaching, teaching. And if you think I can't preach now, you should have seen me then. But I didn't have much experience. I wanted to preach and wanted to grow and learn and be used of God. And I don't remember exactly how this came about, but I wanted to preach and be used, and so I ended up going to two nursing homes on a regular basis and ministering to people. One of those nursing homes, I couldn't even tell if the people could even understand what I was talking about. But I went faithfully and played my guitar. By the way, you don't see me playing a guitar, do you? Well, some who are more gifted than I do that. But at the time, I knew four chords, and so I would go take my guitar with me to the nursing home, and with my four chords, I would play and sing, and then I would preach. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back for what I did yesteryear. What I'm saying is to challenge some of you to take your gifts and abilities, start where you are, and the opportunities, the doors that God opens for you. See, a man's gift will make room for him. And so take your opportunities and the gifts and the things that God has entrusted to you and begin to use them. And what will happen? God will bless. He will open new doors. He will entrust you with more. The man that received the five talents went at once, and he began to work, and he gained five more. So also the one with two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent, he went off and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. He didn't do anything with it. He just sat on it. Didn't even try. There was no effort that was made. What a picture that is of so many believers today that God blesses and He entrusts riches to, but they don't do anything with it. And church, I'm telling you, there are so many people that are not even in church today. They lost what they once had. After a long time, a season goes by, and it's not necessarily a year. You know, we talk about things in terms of a year. God certainly doesn't work by our calendar, does He? But the principle here, though, is that a season goes by as these servants, as we have been entrusted with certain things, then a season goes by and God calls us to a day of reckoning. He holds us accountable for what we have done with what was entrusted to us during that time. He says to the one who has gained five, well, let's just read. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. He says, Master, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, there's several things that we need to see here. First of all, that the one that received two talents and doubled them, and the one that received five talents and doubled them, both of them heard the same words of commendation. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in a few things. Now you're going to be trusted with much, with great things. Both of them heard the same words. You see, it's not our place to sit and judge, well, I don't have as great of a gift as somebody else. God's not going to hold you accountable for five talents if He's entrusted you with two. He's going to hold you accountable for two. What did you do with what He entrusted to you? You know, it reminds me of the story that Jesus told about the little widow woman who came and she brought her two mites and put them in the offering. And here were all of these religious rich people bringing their great offerings. And Jesus says, she has put in more than all of them because they give out of their abundance, but she has given out of her need. And you see, the point is simply this. It is God who determines sovereignly how much He's going to entrust to us. But then it is our responsibility, whatever it is, that we are faithful to use it, to work with it, to invest it as best we can to see God glorified in it and to see it increase. Now, here's the miracle that happens in this passage of Scripture. These guys went out and they invested their time, their energy, what God had given them. And by the way, one of your greatest treasures is your time. One of your greatest treasures is your family, loved ones, friends, relationships with others. One of your greatest treasures is to be involved in ministry and have the opportunity to make a difference in the life of somebody else. The spiritual riches that God has given to you. What a great treasure. Now, God entrusts these treasures to us, and it is up to us to make the investment, to do the work, to use what He's given us. And when we do that, there is an increase. The Bible says that God gives the increase. All we can do is plant and water. All we can do is do the work, make the effort, but it is God ultimately that gives the increase. But He is faithful to do that when we plant and water. When we do what we're supposed to do, God honors that and He gives the increase. And so these guys, they increased what they had, they doubled it. But then comes the miracle. Because then he doesn't just say, well, that's good, you guys go back and double it again. No, he says, you've been entrusted with a few things. Now you're going to be entrusted with much. You see, this is how God works in the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. That if you'll take whatever God has entrusted to you, and you'll use it, you'll invest it, you'll make the most of it, you'll work at it, you'll put forth the effort, and you'll use that, then God will increase it. But as you do, and as you are faithful in that, then when that day of accountability comes, God will say, now, you've been over a little bit, now you're going to be over much. Then it's no longer, well, just by my efforts and the blessing of God, I doubled it. Now, all of a sudden, you see, it's a totally different ball game. It's been just a small amount. Now you're going to be over a whole lot. Why? Because you were faithful in the little. But what happens to so many of us is we despise the small beginnings. We despise the little. We look at what we have and we say, I can't make a difference. I can't do anything. And we fail to realize that God has blessed us, that God has entrusted to us riches. Come share in your master's happiness. What joy there is when we realize that we have done our best and made the effort and that God has blessed it. Then the man who received the one talent came and he said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. I knew you were a hard man. Let me tell you that so many people, the reason they struggle as a Christian in their relationship with God is because they misjudge the character of God. He said, I knew you were a hard man. Let me tell you something. God is good. He is kind to the ungrateful, to the undeserving. He is gracious, merciful, so loving. And he entrusts to us incredible riches. And how dare some people have the attitude that God is hard or unfair. And then he makes his excuse. I was afraid. He blames the Lord. He blames his master in the story. And then he makes his excuse. I was afraid. And I'm sure that on some level in his mind, he was afraid and he justified himself. I was afraid. And how many people do the same thing today and say, well, I was afraid. That's just one of a thousand excuses that people come up with for why they don't use what God has given them, why they don't increase what they have. God forbid that we look back on this year and say, well, here's my excuse. How much better to have no regrets and to realize that we didn't have to make an excuse because we went out and we began to work with what God had blessed us with. But you see, when the master replies, he doesn't say, well, you poor fella, you've had a hard time and, you know, I'm so mean and difficult. I understand why you would be afraid. No, the master doesn't say any of those things. Instead, he says, you wicked, lazy servant. And we might think that that seems a little bit harsh. We might think that that seems a little strong. And here, Jesus is teaching us about when God entrusts things to us. And certainly, the implication here is that this is what God would say to us if we are unfaithful with what he blesses us with. And when I say unfaithful, listen, unfaithful doesn't mean that you went out and used it for evil. This man didn't use it for evil. You know, some people do that. God gifts them, God blesses them, and they use what God has given to them for evil. This man didn't do that. What did he do that was so wrong? Nothing. Exactly. Nothing. You see, most people think, well, I'm a good Christian. I don't do bad things. James says, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'm telling you, it is the sins of omission that are the greater sins, especially in the body of Christ. Things that we know we ought to do, and yet we don't do. Things that Jesus commands us to do, and yet we don't do. And church, I want to challenge you this morning. Be a faithful steward. What God blesses you with, everything that He entrusts to you, take it and use it, work with it, invest it, make the effort. Do the best you can. We can say whatever we do, we do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. You wicked, lazy servant. So, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I scattered seed. I have not scattered seed. Now, the master was not saying, yeah, that's the way I am. In fact, the master had entrusted to this man a great sum of money. He had sown. He had scattered seed. But he said, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I want to tell you something. This parable is not just about when you get to heaven that the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because certainly all who are servants of the Lord, there won't be any who are thrown out into the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Y'all are kind of quiet, but anyway, that's not going to happen, okay? We who serve the Lord, there is going to be a judgment at the judgment seat of Christ for reward. And we, each of us, will be rewarded according to what we have done in this life. But none of us is at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be cast out into the weeping and gnashing of teeth. But Jesus is telling us this story so that we will understand that in this life we are held accountable. There is a day of reckoning as God entrusts things to us. Riches to us, there's a day of reckoning when we give an account for what we've done. And this man was unfaithful. He was wicked. He was lazy. Why would the master speak such strong words, you wicked, lazy servant? Because he took the riches of the master that were entrusted to him and he wasted them. What about us? And here's the amazing judgment that comes. Take the one talent from him, give it to the one that has 10. And again, maybe we are tempted in our little finite minds to pass judgment on God. And say, but God, that's not fair. No, we are the ones who are being unfair when we are lazy and unfaithful with what God has entrusted to us. And so he takes what we are wasting and he gives it to somebody that will use it. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual riches in Christ. I said it earlier, in this passage you find the key. Why is it that so often we have great spiritual revelations, understanding, we grow in the Lord, God does something great in our life, and sometime down the road, we're saying, what happened? How did I lose that? Because we didn't go out and invest it. We didn't use it. Every time God blesses us with riches, we need to take it and go use it. It's not meant for us to just hoard. Jesus said, freely have you received, now freely give. You see, we got to use what God has given us. Everything that he entrusts to us. Everything that he blesses us with. And I want you to understand that this impacts every part of our life. From our finances to our family to ministry to our service and work for God. It impacts even our own spiritual relationship with God, that we use everything He entrusts to us and we see increase in our life. And when we do, there comes a day of accountability that God blesses us, that God pours out upon us blessings that we couldn't even imagine, that He entrusts us with much, much, much more. You see, it's up to us this morning. God is the one who is sovereign and who sovereignly determines what He blesses us with, what gifts, abilities. According to our ability, He gives us talents and treasures and valuable things. But then it is up to us to say whether or not we're going to take it and use it, we're going to invest it, we're going to make the most of it, or if we're just going to hide it. You see, if we approach this year with the mindset and the mentality that we're just going to maintain, we're going to lose. This man maintained. He maintained what his master had given him. He said, here it is, here's what belongs to you. Just to maintain is to lose. No, we got to invest and use what God entrusts to us. And I really believe this, that if you'll do that, this will be your best year. That this will be an increase, a year of increase for you. That you'll look back on this year and say, wow, look at the blessings of God. Look how God has been faithful to me. You see, God is always faithful. The key is, will we be faithful? Or will we waste the opportunities, the treasures, the blessings that are entrusted to us? So I want to challenge you this morning to set out to make this your year. You know, I just want to share this very quickly with you. It's in your bulletin, and you can study it and meditate on it, think on it later. But Wednesday night, I shared a brief message for our New Year's Eve service. And for those of you that were here, well, it's just a little reminder for you. But I think that these principles are important and go along with the message this morning, that if you're going to start into this new year right, there's a little acronym I want you to remember. It's START. First, you got to seize the opportunity. Right now is a great time for you to begin afresh and anew. Right now is a great time for you to make plans and goals and dreams and say, you know what, this is going to be my year. Seize that opportunity. The next letter is T. You got to take inventory. You need to prayerfully look at your own life with the help of the Holy Spirit and say, what has God blessed me with? What do I have to offer? What riches has He put into my life that I can share and invest in others? And what is there in my life that needs to change? Where do I need to make changes in my life? Maybe is there some areas where I need repentance? There's some things where I've wasted my time and wasted of the treasures, the abilities, the gifts that God's given to me. Take inventory and see where you need to change. And next is accountability. Actually, it's the same thing, but the one we used was make yourself, help me here. Yeah, that's it. Accept responsibility. You can use either one. It's accountability. It's making yourself accountable. It's accepting responsibility. And what I'm saying by that is not, see, sometimes when we talk about accountability or accepting responsibility, we're talking about past things. But we need to look at the future with that in mind, that I'm accepting responsibility for what happens in my life this year. I'm going to be accountable to God for what I do with what He's entrusted to me. Next, you got to refocus your thinking. You got to, by the Word of God, change the way you think. You see, if you go into this year thinking with the same perspective and the same old way you've always thought, you're pretty much going to end up with the same kind of results. So you got to refocus your thinking, make a determination in your heart and mind that you're going to view things from God's perspective, that you're going to renew your mind and by the Word of God, that you're not going to think the same old way, the same old patterns. And last, you got to take action. You got to take a step of faith. As I told you the little story about the frogs, you got to be willing not just to decide, but you got to actually step out. You got to take that step. You got to get up from where you are and say, I'm going to do something different and go do it. You see, whether it's in your family, your job, your workplace, your business, your career, your finances, whether it's in your schoolwork and making the good grades, or, you know, whatever kinds of extracurricular activities you're involved in, you're even what you do for God in service and ministry, getting involved and just witnessing to people, talking to people about the Lord. We need to realize that this is an opportunity for us to look back on this year and see great increase. And I'm believing that for our church as well, that as we are faithful with what God has entrusted to us, that we use what God has given to us to the best of our ability, there will be an increase. And I'm believing God for this year, that there is going to be a great increase where he said, you've been faithful over little, now you're going to be over much. Amen. Some of you that have been teaching 3 or 4 kids in a classroom back there, you're going to have 10 or 15. Amen. Youth pastor, you better get ready. Been having 30, 40 kids back there, you're going to have 70, 80. Come on now, my wife asked me, she said, remember 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, we had 165 or 70 people in this building. What are we going to do when we have 2 services like that on Sunday morning? We better get ready, church. But you know what? We'll be ready if we'll be faithful with what we have right now. And in every one of us, you see, and I just want to encourage you about this. You see, it's not about the pastor. No, this is a body. This is about each and every one of us being faithful. You know, I've heard it said far too long that 20% of the body of Christ does 80% of the work. That ought not to be. Because I will tell you, the strength of the body of Christ is that we are all one body, and that each one of us has a function, that each one of us does our part. And you know, as we are faithful to do that and use what God has given us and we work at it and we make that effort, I'll tell you, we're going to see a year of great increase. Well, stand with me, and as we go to the Lord in prayer, I'd like for our prayer partners to come.